Hey guys, my guest tonight, Mark Christopher Lee, is going to be talking about the royal family and their interest in the paranormal. We'll be right back. Grab your popcorn and snacks. Find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin. Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's Tuesday. I hope you had a great weekend and we're sliding into this week, and just think there's three or four more days left this week, and then we're hitting the weekend again. Fall weather was upon us a couple of days ago, but it's a fact of being hot, hot, hot. My name is Charlotte. I'm going to be your host for the next hour or so. I'm also the owner of the California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team based out of Sacramento, California. We're 45 strong up and down the state, which means if you think you have a paranormal need, we can get to you. It may take us a while, but we will get to you. And in the case that we can't get out there right away, we do have mediums on staff that can phone you and talk to you about what may or may not be going on. And in most cases, they can settle the energy down until we get out there. So look us up, social media. And speaking of which, if you're watching from Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch tonight, feel free to follow and subscribe if you haven't done so already. And when you, as you're watching the show, leave us some thumbs up and comment in the chat room, because that puts us that triggers the master computers at Facebook and puts us out there into what they call the FYP page, which sends it out to a lot of people. Okay, my topic tonight, and my guest, Mark Christopher Lee. I've been interested in this stuff for a long time, and especially where the royal family is concerned. There's a lot of rumors with the royal family and their visits of the paranormal. Because New England, almost every place, old place is haunted, no matter where you go. Okay? And it's really cool. It's really cool over there, especially London. You got the Tower of London and all that. But the royal family in particular has had this huge interest in UFOs. And our guest tonight, Mark Christopher Lee, is going to talk to you about that and tell you about that. And I have heard over the years rumors, you know, of the royal family themselves seeing ghosts in their different castles, you know, and things like that. So let me get Mark in here. We'll get the show on the road, and we're going to talk the British royal family and the paranormal.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's very exciting. I'm just about 30 miles from London, so there you go. It's a haunted city.
It is. That's got to be the most, you know, the England itself, London and all that, that's got to be the most haunted areas around. You know, that's going on in the UK. Everywhere you go, there's ghosts.
Yeah. I mean, my house is 250 years old. It's hauntings everywhere.
You might even see people looking over my shoulder, because this house says 70 years old, but it's still very active with family members and stuff in here. Yeah. So I'm used to it. I have relatives over in England.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Whereabouts?
I have some people out in, just outside of London, like you, about 30 miles outside. And then I've got people over in Canterbury.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's nice. Yeah.
Awesome. They live out in Canterbury. So it's a nice area. Beautiful thing. Beautiful stuff. Mm. Tell me about you, sir.
Yeah. Well, I've been investigating both the paranormal and UFOs for about 30 years now. When I was a kid growing up on British TV, there was a program called Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World. Arthur C. Clarke was a hard-nosed scientist. He invented the communication satellite. Mm-hmm. And was the author of 2001: A Space Odyssey. But he also had a very open mind, and he was investigating mysterious, unexplained phenomena. And he did this brilliant TV show, which scared the living daylights out of me. But it kind of just opened my mind to think there's more to life than just material reality and what we see. So since then, I've been on a quest. And now I'm lucky enough to make films where I can test these theories, see what's going on, and try and find an answer to it all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we talk about the royal family, all you see really is the pomp and circumstance, which is cool. I mean, to you guys, it's probably moldy oldie, because I know, I read things like the Daily Mail, and we don't want to go there. But you know what I mean? And it seems like it's like a 50-50 thing now over in where you're from and looking at the royal family. It's the pomp and stuff that's wonderful for the tourism and all that, because over here with us, here we got ready, I hate to say it this way, we chased you guys out, right? But yet our people are embracing the whole royal thing. I mean, Prince Harry over here is like literally like a living prince for everybody. When he comes out, everybody goes to see him. So, has the feelings really changed all that much towards the royal family over in England?
A little bit, I think. I think King Charles is putting us on a new course for the new generation, preparing the way for King William, Queen Catherine, who will, take over, when he dies, obviously. Right. So I think there is a kind of change in the way the royals work. I quite like King Charles. I think he's very open-minded. Mm-hmm. He wants to be seen as, because he's head of the Church of England, the Anglican Church, but he wants to also be seen as, defender of all faiths, because we live in a multicultural society, and that's a good thing. So, I do respect him for that. And what's interesting about this film that's out at the moment, The King of UFOs, I spent a lot of time investigating the royal family's knowledge of the paranormal and UFOs, and they do keep it secret. I mean, the royal family is built on secrets. It's always had that secret element. But the thing is, they've been into the paranormal massively for a long time, and not many people know that. And they've also been into UFOs, crop circles, all sorts of weird stuff that I found out. And I've got all the documentary evidence. Mm-hmm. It's just not known to the public. So hopefully this will encourage people to, it's okay, these things are real, something's happening. If the royal family, they're serious people, they're looking into it, they take it seriously, why can't, other people take it seriously? So that's my mission, I guess.
I had heard from somebody else I had on the show that there was some thought, because there were like two altars at Stonehenge at one point, and there was some thought that the royal family actually has one of the altars. Have you heard that?
Wow. No, I haven't heard that. That's amazing.
And it's hidden away at Kensington.
That's brilliant. I mean, what I did find out, we had a paranormal historian on the film called Richard Felix, and he's he was the paranormal historian in Yvette Fielding's Most Haunted TV series. So he knows his stuff. And, he goes on about every royal castle residence is haunted, has its own ghosts. We've got Anne Boleyn. We've got Queen Elizabeth I. We've got Catholic priests. We've got King James. We've got King Charles I, II. There's ghosts everywhere. So it's normal. But what he also found out is that the royal family, everyone's heard of the Vatican secret archives. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he found out that our royal family has got its own secret archives in Windsor Castle, which detail ghosts, paranormal activity, alchemy, secret societies, even UFOs. Mm-hmm. And that knowledge is kept secret to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Wasn't it Prince Philip's uncle?
Well, yeah, it was Lord Louis Mountbatten.
Yeah.
Was Prince Philip's uncle. And he was the first person really to get into UFOs, so to speak. And he was obviously part of high up in the British Navy. So he was on ship a lot, and he was seeing things in the sky, strange orbs. And he was detailing in the naval logbooks for the ship. Mm-hmm. But then he was already into UFOs, and actually Mountbatten thought that UFOs were actually spiritual entities. They weren't just physical craft. There was a non-physical psychic element to them, which back in the 1950s was way ahead of its time. And I mean, now most mainstream ufologists think, there's something weird about UFOs. There's this spiritual paranormal element to them. Even people like David Grush, who the whistleblower has come forward, he believes it. Well, but Mountbatten in the 50s was saying this, it's in his autobiography by Philip Ziegler. It's all documented. But then, weirdly enough, Mountbatten, being a believer in UFOs, actually had a UFO land at his country estate in Broadlands in Hampshire, England. And although Mountbatten wasn't there at the time, it was his workman called Fred Briggs, who was Mountbatten's labourer, bricklayer. And Briggs basically saw this craft come down This ladder came out of the craft, and Briggs was so shocked. She saw this entity walking down this ladder. Wow. It knocked Briggs off his bike. It was like, whoa, what's going on? And anyway, Fred Briggs gave a diagram of what the craft looked like, what the entity looked like. And Mountbatten actually wrote a statement testifying to Fred Briggs's honesty, trustworthiness, and that he believes he was telling the truth. And this is all in Mountbatten's archives. Mm-hmm. It's all documented. So, yeah, a UFO landed at a royal estate. That's a crazy wow. story, but there you go.
And I guess from then on, he really got into it. He really got into studying this stuff, which he passed on to Prince Philip. And then Prince Charles, of course, got involved. Like you say, he has an open mind. You know, over here with Prince Charles, a lot of respect for the king. But when he was younger, right, because he just marched to his own beat, right? This is his own drum. So you can understand, in a way, in a weird sort of way, Prince Charles being into this stuff. Okay, you know, let's just say that.
Yeah, he was always his own person. He was, you know, he talked to plants. He's always been into homeopathy, which is, you know, over here is a bit like the dark arts. You know, he's always, I mean, even now he's appointed a homeopath to Buckingham Palace, mm-hmm. Even now. So he's got an open mind and he thinks there's more to life, you know, than there is here. And he's also, we found evidence that he's attended UFO crop circle conferences in disguise. It's like, whoa, when he was younger.
But it so makes sense. Like, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Then when we talk about Prince Philip, you know, his uncle passed that information down to him. Mm-hmm. What did Prince Philip do with it? Did he start doing seminars? Or was he doing research on this stuff or what?
Yeah, well, Prince Philip, yeah, obviously influenced by his uncle, Lord Mountbatten. Mm-hmm. Then he was interested, but he had to be careful because politically it was a bit of a hot potato. We didn't want to, because you have to realize the British Ministry of Defense said, you know, a UFO is a nonsense. There's nothing there.
Right.
So then Prince Philip, you know, he's a qualified engineer, very intelligent man. He believed there was something there. So, but he couldn't just go out and say that. So he used his private equerry, who is his secretary, Sir Peter Horsley. And he would go out and get the information of the latest sightings, get the flying saucer review, update Prince Philip regularly on the latest sightings. So that Prince Philip wasn't out there kind of making mistakes in public. Uh-huh. So he acted through this intermediary, basically Sir Peter Horsley. And this is all detailed in Sir Peter Horsley's autobiography. And it's a really, really weird story that this guy, Sir Peter Horsley, met this character called Janus, in a flat in Chelsea, which is in London. Uh-huh. And this Janus was a weird character. It was like there's an otherworldly, ethereal quality to him. And Sir Peter Horsley said this character could read his mind and they were communicating telepathically. So basically he thought this Janus was extraterrestrial. Uh-huh. And this Janus character really wanted to meet Prince Philip to pass on knowledge and to try and save the planet. Planet's in trouble. This Janus guy was saying we need visionaries like Prince Philip to save the planet. So they tried to set this meeting up, but it was basically Prince Philip was advised not to, on the grounds that it was probably a Russian spy and probably not an extraterrestrial. But all I can say is still to the day he died, Sir Peter Horsley insisted that, you know, it wasn't a spy. There was something otherworldly about Janus and that it possibly was extraterrestrial. That's a really, really weird story. And it's all documented. People don't know about it. Mm.
You know, there's stories of these extraterrestrials visiting, you know, high-ranking politicians.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of stories like that. So maybe that's what was going on, you know, with Prince Philip's uncle and then Prince Philip and Charles, for all we know, you know, they are being visited.
Yeah, absolutely. And because if you were going to, you know, going to come from another world and wanted to make contact, you're going to contact the people in charge, aren't you? I guess. Because, you know, that's what you would do. So, and there's also some evidence that secret knowledge has been passed down generations through bloodlines. Mm-hmm. And this possibly started in the 16th, 17th century. There was, I don't know if you know, there was a famous philosopher, statesman called Francis Bacon in England. And he was at the court of St. James. So he was advising King James I. in England, but Francis Bacon was also founder of the Rosicrucians secret society that allegedly had this ancient knowledge, maybe come down from Egypt or Atlantis or whatever, and that this knowledge was then passed on to King James I and then further down the royal bloodline until today. So there is that possibility that, you know, King Charles, you know, has got this secret knowledge that we don't have, that maybe, you know, life is far weirder. I mean, I believe this myself from my investigations, UFOs especially.
Oh, I find it interesting too. When you look at the royal family, you look at Charles, he's very open-minded. But William, I'm just wondering if William, you know, has had this information passed down, but he doesn't strike me as being as open-minded as Charles at all.
I don't know. I mean, we came across a story that Prince William and Princess Catherine, they have a residence in Norfolk called it's called Amner Hall, which is part of Sandringham. And they know that their property is haunted. They've seen a ghost there, and they're fine with it. They're okay. Oh, yeah. So, you know, royal properties, yeah, they're all haunted. They're used to it. So they've got that open-mindedness that paranormal exists. It's there, and they're living alongside it, and they've got no problem with that. So I do think Prince William is open-minded. And also, you have to bear in mind, his mother, Princess Diana, she was very spiritual. She used to go to psychics, attend seances. She always had that, you know, kept it secret, as the royals did. So I'm sure, I know he was young when his mother died, but I'm sure that, you know, he's got the same personality traits.
Right, right.
So that's been passed down.
Yeah, I don't mean disrespect against any of them. I believe the job that they do is hard. Being on display all the time in that fishbowl, you know, you got to be perfect all the time. That's a hard job to have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into debate on the rights and wrongs of the
monarchy. Right.
I know it's, but yeah, they, you know, they've got a lot of privileges, but they do work hard for them. I mean, whether, you know, whether they deserve it, I don't know. I mean,
it's good for tourism.
It is, yeah, and it's part of our history, and history's great, and you know, we shouldn't get rid of it. I don't think. Absolutely. What would the alternative be? I guess.
Right, right. Now, when we talk about ghosts, and like you say, you know, just about every castle and home. Okay, we're going to say that at every place you go over there, there's a ghost, which is really cool. I think it's really cool. But like you just talked about Prince William and Catherine, who else has had encounters with you know, the royal family with ghosts?
Queen Elizabeth II saw Queen Elizabeth I at Windsor Castle. And at Hatfield House, which is not far from me. And also her father, George VI, I think it was, he saw Elizabeth I 6 times at Windsor Castle Library. Prince Charles, when he was prince, he saw Anne Boleyn, Elizabeth I, James I, Charles I. Prince Charles has seen a lot of ghosts. I mean, you've got Windsor Castle, massively haunted. You've got the Tower of London, massively haunted. You've got the ghost of Anne Boleyn, who seems to be getting about everywhere, not surprisingly. Yeah, I mean, like you say, all the royal properties are haunted, and they've got these ghosts that have carried on down. And what's interesting was talking to Richard Felix, because he knows his paranormal history, and he thinks there's something to down with. Basically, all these buildings are made of stone, okay? And he's a big advocate for the stone tape theory, which I don't know if you're aware of, where it, you know, it's like stone has magnetic properties, a bit like, you know, the old cassette tape or VHS tape, and actually records energies into the fabric of the stone. So a lot of these haunted, and not really hauntings, they're kind of playbacks of, you know, energy that's been trapped and has been replayed. So I think that's what he thinks it is, which is why you don't see so many of these hauntings in modern buildings. And probably why we got loads in the UK.
I mean, it's like, you know, as far as my investigations for 25 years, those do have those replays, because even stone and wood can retain energy. And when you think back on the history over there, there were so many, you know, there were so many like real high tension times over the years. You know, for these people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's, I mean, the town where I live, St. Albans, basically there was a massive battle here, the War of the Roses. And it was like, there's a place where sometimes I take my kids. It's a park, basically. It's called Berners Heath. Mm-hmm. But not many people know that. It's like 10,000 people, you know, sort of were killed on this ground. It's like, and there's, you know, people have seen sightings and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. kind of everywhere in the UK. And we've got lots of Roman ghosts near us because we're on the Roman road and there's mm-hmm. Roman settlements. But these are kind of replaying events as well.
Sure, absolutely.
So it's fascinating. What does it all mean? I don't know. Maybe you do.
I don't know. I just think there's that imprint in time, you know, and you reach a certain point today in time and you happen to, well, get lucky, you know, like the people that have seen, you know, the Romans marching down the roads and crossing the roads and stuff. So I think it's because of all the tension. I think there's a lot of, the earth does retain that energy.
Yeah, you
know, just there is tension.
Yeah, I think also people were more religious back then, and they lived in fear of death and the devil and Satan and all that. And that's why I think a lot of souls became trapped, really, because they were scared to go to the next level, thinking, you know, hell and damnation awaited. So they're like, oh, we'll stay here kind of thing. I think that's a lot to do with it. Whereas now we're living in more a-religious, people don't have that fear when they die. Mm-hmm. I don't, not so much.
But I know, I mean, when I first started ghost hunting, I was real young when I visited England the last time, because I want to go now as an adult, because it was fun. But I remember my cousin, how well everybody was embracing the ghosts. It's one of those things, like, you know, like over here, you know, we see all these TV programs, you know, and right away I get phone calls, oh, it's demonic, I know it's demonic, blah, blah, blah. And you guys are on the flip side, because you don't think it's demonic, you just embrace what's there.
Yeah, I think that's the right attitude. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, I'm sure there are a small percentage of dark entities out there, but I'm sure most of them aren't. And I think psychology can play a big role here, that if you're going to see something as, if you've got these preconceived perceptions that something's going to be demonic, then it will be demonic, I think, you know. Whereas if you, like you say, you embrace it, that these things are here alongside us, not really here to harm us, most of them are not, then, you know, they can interact. So I think there can be a playful element as well. So, but yeah, I'm not really into all this kind of, harem scare.
Right.
That's not my thing. And I don't think the royal family are like that either. They're quite at home with ghosts and their houses all. It's there and it's quite interesting. It's something to talk about.
It's like I tell the ones here, you know, I know you're here. You know that I know that you're here. Just don't do things to scare me or anything like that. And we'll just live happily ever after. And that's what the agreement I have going on here.
Because
if you're sitting here and suddenly my pen rises, it's kind of unnerving to watch that kind of stuff, right? So they don't do that with me. Now, when we talk about going back to Royal Ghosts, Anne Boleyn, how frequent is she in appearing at the Tower of London and in different homes?
Yeah, she's pretty much the most spotted ghost. I mean, obviously her death being executed probably contributes to that. And the fact that, you know, Henry VIII wasn't a particularly nice chap.
No.
So, you know, a lot of bad energy was surrounding him, I think. So, yeah, she's the one that's most seen. I mean, I'm not aware of any fairly recent sightings of her at the Tower. I mean, I need to do more investigating, but I know that most of the royal family have seen her, so which is cool.
You know, it could be helpful to them too in a lot of ways when you think about it, because who knows, maybe these ghosts are coming back to warn them or help them with stuff that's going on, even though they really don't have that power to do stuff. But I mean, like before we came into this century, when the king still had power, you know, to sign stuff into law, maybe that's why they're there, is to go, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is going to cause problems, because ghosts will do that.
Yeah. I mean, there is, we found out in the film, it's the king of UFOs, which is out on Tubi and Amazon. We found that since Queen Victoria was the first monarch, and she basically was contacting the dead, she attended seances, And this is when seances became really, really popular, was in Victorian times. And they were taken very seriously. You had people like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote the Sherlock Holmes books. He was, you know, studying seances and spiritualism as scientific fact. And this carried on. And I've got an interesting story from the film. There was this psychic medium called Lillian Bailey, I think her name was. This is in the 1950s. And King George VI, speech therapist. You've heard of the King's Speech. Where he had a speech impediment. He had a speech therapist called Lionel Logue. Lionel Logue was massively into spiritualism. And so he got this Lillian Bailey to do this private seance somewhere in Kensington, I think it was, a private flat. So Lillian Bailey came along. She got a spirit guide, manifested stuff, and, you know, basically things happened. She got messages and she passed them on, not knowing who the audience was. When she took her blindfold off, because she was blindfolded so she couldn't see who was in the audience, she saw the Queen Mother, Prince Philip, Princess Alexandria, and lots of other the major roles. So they were all there at that seance, and this was in 1957. So I'm sure that's carried on. I'm sure the Queen, Prince Philip, you know, have tried to contact, you know, ghosts, you know, people in the afterlife. I'm sure that's carried on up until now.
I'm sure it would have been. If you're living in a haunted castle and you know there's something moving around in there, your first reaction is to try and find out what it is exactly, you know, what you're dealing with. So you're going to have your seances, you're going to try and make contact with this stuff. You know, it's a rich history. It's a fascinating history.
I just wonder if the Queen or King Charles has got a Ouija board stashed away somewhere.
You can just see Charles in there, huh?
That would be fun to get a picture of that.
Locked in his chambers at night because he can't sleep and he's in there with the Ouija boards.
Who knows?
Who knows? What, you know, what do you think? Do you think, like, as far as UFOs go, that Parliament is ever going to acknowledge them? Because I know it took a while here and I still can't figure out, you know, as far as what our government's doing, is it to appease us, you know, to just give us enough information that, oh, we're looking into this? Or are they seriously looking into this, you know, for disclosure? Do you think the Parliament over there, or the powers that be over there, are ever going to acknowledge that, that this stuff is going on?
No. I've studied this a lot. UFOs are my main thing. For the record, for your audience, I've got a science degree. I'm open-minded. I'm a Christian with a small C. I've investigated this, and there's definitely something there, UFOs. And I think my personal theory is that the US government and maybe secret organization, maybe the Collins elite, they're called MJ12, whatever, they exist. Okay. That's a reality. And they're keeping it secret. And I think it's farmed out to private military contractors. So it's immune from freedom of information requests. So it's very, very secret. Not many people know about it, but it exists. And the reality is they don't want to release the whole truth because it's too weird. The public will be able to deal with it. We could deal with the fact that UFOs are from another planet and their physical craft and their beings, a bit like us, look a bit different. But, you know, they've evolved, but they're flesh and blood. We could deal with that, I think. We've been fed that through culture, you know, sci-fi movies, whatever. We're used to that idea. But I think the reality is that's not what's visiting us. I think it is, there's more to it than that. I think either already here, living on a different plane, or living in the oceans or Antarctica, and maybe they are the original inhabitants of the Earth, and we're kind of some sort of hybrid. I don't know, but I think there's something like that that's far weird, which is why they'll never release the proper truth. They might try and nudge us down this way, because that's what they want, because they want to keep society together and be able to control the population. So that's what I think. This is why I don't think it will ever be released. And I think the British government does have some, because this thing called the Five Eyes Agreement, where the Americans, Canadians, I think Australia, New Zealand, and the British have got this agreement to keep it under wraps. And I'm sure King Charles will know this. I mean, the thing is, this is what I think. However, there are, it's more complicated because also those in the Pentagon, quite evangelical Christians, who just don't want to touch it at all. They think that UFOs are demons. a set of passages in the Bible that they refer to in Ephesians and Ecclesiastes and various parts which, you know, refer to these demons in the sky, Satan and all this. And so they're using that as a reason not to even go there and to look at it. You know, and, you know, even our great Winston Churchill in the Second World War, we had Foo Fighters coming up, you know, basically airmen were seeing these craft, both American and British, these orbs flashing around, didn't know what they were. They were called Foo Fighters. So William, you know, Winston Churchill said, no, let, I don't want to investigate it. It would destroy religion. He's on record saying that. So I don't think there will, truth will be revealed. That's my honest answer. I hope it will be. But I think it's far weirder. And I think there's a paranormal element to UFOs. That's my personal belief.
You know, I had that thought, similar thoughts to you, but what I'm thinking with what's going on over here is that they're going to trickle out this information to us because they want to prepare us. They don't want, you know, like you say, too much of one thing is going to freak people out.
Sure.
Yeah. So what's going to happen? I think they're here already. I think they're living amongst us, and we don't know it. I think once everybody gets in tune to what's going on via the government, that it could be your next door neighbor, it could be the people living across the street from you, and you don't realize it. But imagine if they release this right now and said, "Oh yeah, they're here." Your neighbor comes across the street, shakes your hands with seven fingers. You know, you're going to be kind of put off and scared about that. So I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah, you're definitely right. Yeah. I mean, see how upset we get with, you know, migrants coming in, aliens from another country. So if we've got actually aliens from another planet or another reality coming in, it's like, oh my God, it's going to be, and they're already here, then your mate, potentially, you say your neighbor. That's like, yeah, it'd be chaos, wouldn't it?
When you talk about UFOs and you think about England, I have interviewed people about Rendlesham Air Base over there. Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about Rendlesham.
Yeah, well, that's good because that's my next film, actually. And doing this film, The King of UFOs, which is out on Tubi and Amazon, the Queen and Prince Philip are both massively interested in Rendlesham. And basically, Rendlesham in 1980, it was the RAF Bentwaters in Suffolk. It was an American Air Force base, part of NATO at the time, had nuclear weapons. Basically, these American Air Forcemen over Christmas weekend 1980, they saw strange lights in the forest and went to investigate over the whole weekend. And some of the airmen say a craft landed. Jim Pennistone, the American Air Forceman, he said he touched the craft, it gave him a binary download of information, which he's later translated. It's a very, very weird story. And there's evidence that something happened. Colonel Holt, who I've spoken to about this, he's very, very credible. He was in charge of the base at the time. He went to investigate and documented all of it on his dictaphone. He still thinks that something happened. It wasn't a prank. It wasn't satellite. It wasn't misidentification. Definitely something happened. The weird thing is, I'm now investigating Rendlesham even more for my next film. I've actually got video evidence of people who have been back since 1980, in the 1990s and 2000s. They've seen basically UFOs. I've got a video which is in the film of a policeman called John Hansen, a very credible character. He's videoed a UFO in 1995, I think it was, at Rendlesham Forest. And I've got it on, and it's amazing. And I know people who've been back since and actually tried to manifest a UFO, and a pyramid-shaped UFO appeared. There's something weird about the place. And we put this to test for my next film, Rendlesham, the British Roswell, and we meditated, and ours was, we didn't manifest the UFO, we did have a paranormal experience. We had strange noises, we heard howling from unnatural animals, you know, and we saw orbs in the forest. It was very, very strange, and it was paranormal. And this is all in my next film. It's just like, I've got an open mind. I've got science. I'm trying to rationalize it all the time. Well, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. It's in the middle of nowhere. There was no one there. It's like, it's definitely something weird and unexplained.
Mm-hmm. How hard was it to get information for this, the current documentary that you have, as far as the royal family goes?
I got lucky, basically. I interviewed for another film, this policeman I just mentioned called John Hansen, and he runs mm-hmm. this brilliant UFO archive in Stratford-upon-Avon, Shakespeare mm-hmm. and all that. And he's got this massive archive, thousands and thousands of documented sightings just in the UK going back to the 1950s. And he's an ex-police officer, a detective, very, very credible character. And he wasn't interested at all in UFOs. And then in 1995, I think it was, or 94, one of his colleagues had an experience and he convinced John that there was something to it. And he started talking to more police officers and they saw stuff. And he started documenting it and he's got thousands of cases. And he started corresponding with the Queen and Prince Philip. He was sending his books to them, his Haunted Skies books, which are about UFOs. Mm-hmm. And the Queen and Prince Philip were writing them back saying they loved the book. We're adding it to our own paranormal UFO library collection. So the Queen and Prince Philip was like, had their own collection of paranormal and UFO books. And I think that's amazing. No one knows. And I've got the letter in the film, which like proved this. It's not just me making it up. Mm-hmm. The correspondence is there. And I was like, I never knew this. I think people need to know that the royal family, very serious, credible characters, are taking paranormal and UFO seriously. We should as well. So it's fascinating.
There's got to be something to it because, I mean, you haven't received, you know, with this movie, this thing you've done, you haven't received any fallback from the palace, have you, at all?
No, I mean, I have written a letter to King Charles just trying to get his version of events. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard back. I have no negative. I mean, the documentary is, you know, it's respectful.
It's not
too controversial. I mean, there is one story, which I might as well mention, in the film, which mm-hmm. we don't know whether it's true or not. But more evidence has come to light that it is true since we published the film. And it's by a Canadian diver, former child diver called Dan Costello. And he claims to have seen Prince Charles in 1975 fly a prototype UFO in Nova Scotia. And he was a child at the time, but he saw Prince Charles as one of three pilots in a dome-shaped craft. Prince Charles was wearing a special magnetic suit. It was a kind of experimental helicopter. It wasn't an extraterrestrial vehicle, but it was weird technology. It had two rotor blades, but then it had another power source with this blue ionic flame. So the craft would just hover there, silent. You know, if it was a helicopter, it would just drop and fall. Which, you know, hovered there silent. When it took off, it would leave this, basically it would scorch the earth and turn the soil into glass. So it was some sort of weird, and Charles has apparently taken his craft to Langley, NASA base in America. So I had a little bit of evidence that, because, you know, it's a fantastical story. It's like great for the film. You know, I did question him. He was a child at the time. So people said, well, maybe you just made it up, but it's very, very credible. It gives so much information, detailed. And there are still all these marks left in the soil. And people have come forward since to say, yeah, I remember that. It was the Sandy Point incident. And we still talk about that round here. So I've written to King Charles to say, is it true? What's your version of events? But it's an interesting story.
It is, and when you were talking about Prince Charles, the first thing that came to my mind was helicopter, because that's what that's what those guys fly. I mean, they're teaching Prince George right now to fly. He's starting to get his flight lessons already. I mean, the kid's not even 13, so he's gonna be a great pilot. You know, I saw a picture the other day come up of a rescue helicopter ambulance that had landed at Hyde Park.
All right, yeah.
It came across my feed, and what people don't realize, and this was something that. You know, like with Prince William, where he's concerned, and I kind of made a note on it, and somebody laughed at me, and I said, you know what, Prince William could just get in that thing and just, you know, go, because that's what he was doing in those rescue choppers like that. I think a lot of people forget about that, you know, that Charles and William and Harry, you know, and probably George coming up, and even Andrew.
Andrew
can fly.
Yeah, they're all highly trained helicopter pilots.
Yeah.
And that's why the story fits in with Dan Costello in Canada, because Prince Charles was actually stationed on HMS Endeavour, which is an aircraft carrier nearby, and he was flying helicopters at the time nearby. Mm-hmm. So it does kind of tie in a little bit, and Prince Charles was in that area at the time on duty.
It does tie in. It'd be fascinating to see if that was really true. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't prove that UFOs are extraterrestrial, but
No.
what it would prove is that there is a secret technology that was being developed, and maybe that can account for some of the sightings now. I mean, we have to realize that what we could be seeing is our own technology. Maybe it was taken from extraterrestrials a long time ago, but we've developed it, and you know, it's a
Well, think
possibility.
about this. I mean, you guys are the ones that came up with the Harrier jet, the Harrier jump jet,
It's
you know,
true,
and they're still using them. They use them over here on our aircraft
yeah.
carriers as well. You know, where
Absolutely,
did the
yeah.
technology come from? I mean, for a plane to take off vertically. I mean, that's insane.
Well, yeah, and then you go on to Wernher von Braun, who was the leading Nazi rocket scientist, did the V2 bomber. Operation Paperclip, the Americans go in there, take him back over, and he's head of NASA developing the Saturn rockets, which took Apollo to the moon. That technology just went whoosh, like that. So, which
Absolutely.
enabled us to land on the moon way ahead of schedule. And that was down to Wernher von Braun, who also said, I mean, I've spoken to Uri Geller about this as well. He was friends of Wernher von Braun. Uri Geller went to meet him, and Uri says, yeah, Wernher von Braun showed me some parts of basically a UFO, and they had this technology and were back engineering it. So there is that possibility as well.
And I saw something a couple of years ago, Discovery, Channel and all that a lot of these scientists, like von Braun, the Harrier, the Harrier guy, that and the people, some of the people at NASA, that although they might not be half-breed aliens, that at one point maybe they were abducted and there were implants put into their heads to help them build this stuff, to create this stuff.
Oh, yeah, so they were receiving information from elsewhere. Oh, that makes sense. I
I thought it
mean,
was a great theory.
I mean, I don't actually think you need chips and implants. I mean, people say, look at Nostradamus. People say Nostradamus was receiving messages from the cosmos. And then you've got Einstein. All these kind of genius characters are kind of accessing information on a different plane. I don't know whether it's extraterrestrial, but it's definitely something out there that they're tuning into. And that kind of ties in a little bit with quantum physics and, you know, quantum entanglement and all that. And we still can't explain it even
Well,
now.
that's the thing, and with scientists like that, they could have psychic abilities, be in communication with, with these beings, but they're never going to admit it because they're scientists. They don't believe in that stuff,
No,
and
sure.
but the ideas have to come from somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, and possibly this is where this Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind manifesting UFOs comes from, because we are kind of communicating with an intelligence out there. I mean, I'm skeptical about this, but I've tried this twice now. I tried it outside my house in Hertfordshire for a film. I did a film called UFO Encounters of the Fifth Kind. It's out on Amazon. You can see the results. And I got a group of people together, friends, and we played some music, we meditated, and we, you know, beckoned something to appear. We were about to pack up, thinking, okay, we've had a nice time hanging out with your mates, a bit of music, but nothing happened. And then we turned the camera off. As soon as we turned the camera off, we saw something up there.
Of
Luckily, we got
course.
the camera back on. We got the camera back on, luckily. So we caught it right at the end of the film. And it was something that couldn't be explained. It was a weird UFO orb thing that wasn't a satellite, wasn't a star. We checked all that out. Definitely unexplained. So I think that was probably a success. So I thought, okay, we tried it again in Rendlesham. And that's when we had all the weird paranormal phenomena which came out of the blue. So I definitely think the mind is more powerful than we think if we can access these higher realms. And I think when we access these higher realms, we're in, people used to call it the ether. It's like what was out there, what we're connected to, the formless substance that Wallace Wattles referred to in his book, Science of Getting Rich. What the secret is based on, a bit of that manifesting. I do believe that you can use the mind. The certain powers that the mind has, if you train yourself, you know, they can be accessed. And I think this ties in with ETs, whatever they are. That's
See, I
my
do the
opinion.
same thing. I go out, I sit in here at night asking them, I have health issues. I'm thinking, come get me and fix my health issues. I'm willing to go aboard. I'm willing to go aboard and deal with your tests. Just fix me. I don't know. Nothing's
I mean, I know someone who has done that and it has worked. It's a lady. She won't mind me saying. She's on YouTube, got a popular channel. She's called Ray Dove, R-A-E-D-O-V-E. And she's in my next film. And she talks about, you know, contacting ET through meditation, asking for healing. And she was seriously ill. And she got a miracle, basically. I mean, some people, you know, in the past might call that, you know, miracle healing from God, Jesus, whatever. But she has to, you know, ask ETs to come and heal. And she was healed. And she communicates still with them now. But she's got the ability to tap into that realm, which has helped her. So I mean, the scientific part of me think, nah, it's just a coincidence. But it's like, nah, she's really credible. And, you know, she did change and something did that. And I can't explain it. So maybe it was ET or maybe it was God. I don't know. Or maybe God is ET. Maybe there is a higher consciousness that we can all tap into. Who knows? Absolutely. I don't pretend to have the answers. I ask the questions with an open mind. I'm on a quest. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we should be asking these questions.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Out of all the stories you came across with the royal family, which one is one of your favorites?
Okay, my favorite one was this crop circle researcher. It's called Colin Andrews. And he told me the story that he was down in Wiltshire in England. Mm-hmm. And this crop circle had just appeared. And there was this he was with a Japanese TV crew filming this crop circle that just appeared. And this Japanese TV crew told him, oh, the Queen's found out. And, you know, she's really interested in this. And she's, you know, she might be coming down. Uh-huh. It's like, okay. So anyway, an hour or so later, a couple of hours later, this Rolls Royce turns up. And he's going, oh, my God, it's the Queen. And it wasn't the Queen, but it was her Rolls Royce. And it was a chief scientific advisor that had come down to find out what had happened so he could go back and tell the Queen what happened. But just for a moment, the Queen nearly appeared in a crop circle. I mean, it's a cool story. Like, it just shows you how seriously and how interested she was in it. And, and what I found out, because I've spoken to a lot of people about crop circles, and obviously some of them are found to be fake, more simple ones.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But there are some more complex ones as well, which can't be explained. The thing is, right, there's a guy called, you should speak to him, called Dr. Simeon Hine. And he's been investigating quite a long time. And he's been investigating, and he says, even in the hoax ones, the man-made ones, you go in a crop circle, weird stuff still happens. Batteries fail, you know, communication phones don't work, and you get this weird aura, this sense of feeling uneasy. Even in the man-made ones. So he's got a theory that's something about the vortex that it creates, the pattern, opens up other dimensions. It's really, really weird. And I think there's more to crop circles than just some couple of guys or a couple of planks.
Right. Have you had the chance to visit any crop circles at all?
No, I keep getting asked this question. I'm being honest, I haven't, no. However, I do live in Hertfordshire, where the first ever documented crop circle was made, and there's a wood cutting of it, of the devil kind of mowing the grass. It's called the mowing devil. Mm-hmm. And at the time, that's what they thought created this pattern, was the devil going around in a field, creating this mysterious circular pattern. It's called the mowing devil, and that happened near my home in Hertfordshire. So there you go.
But see, I got to go once.
Oh wow, brilliant!
Because about 20 miles away from where I live, there was one. And really? Being the newspaper reporter that I am, you know, I went out there with my mother. I'm walking around, and I was bummed because way off, like about maybe 30, 40 feet away from where this crop circle was, there was a nice flat piece of wood, you know, elongated piece of wood. And I looked at my mom and I said, well, that's that. You know, and it turns out that you know, there's somebody that had done it. But you're right, you get out there, and it's a really weird feeling when you're walking around on that thing, even if it is man-made.
Yeah, but why is that so? It's really weird, isn't it? And Dr. Simeon Hine is to do with vortexes and...
Yeah.
That's weird.
Maybe that's why they do it in certain spots, too, because maybe, you know, like we were talking earlier about the stone and those different castles. You know, it's like limestone. Limestone is huge here, you know, like for paranormal activity, because if you get limestone and water running at the same time, people are going to start seeing stuff. It's just a combination of the energy it causes.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, and the magnetics. Yeah. So it might be something underground where people are drawn, you know, they don't realize they're drawn to these spots.
Well, yeah, and like crop circles in the UK, most of them happen in Wiltshire, you know, mm-hmm. in and around Stonehenge, which has been there, you know, a long time. And still no one has worked out what Stonehenge is.
Right.
Or who created it. The people who created it apparently just disappeared into thin air. That's the latest. Mm-hmm. And no one knows what happened to them.
Yeah.
So all these mysteries. And then we go to Göbekli Tepe in Turkey. That's another weird stone formation, which is one of the oldest on the planet, which takes civilization back even further. We still don't know our true origins, and that's one of the great mysteries, I think.
We have one here. America's Stonehenge. We actually have a Stonehenge over here.
Yeah, where is that?
It's like near Boston. Or I think it's more in the east somewhere. But it's smaller than the one you have over there, but it's there. It's fascinating to think that there is one, though.
Yeah,
that is fascinating. So these things were cropping up all over the world at one point. Whether they were communicating. It's like the Nazca Lines, too. What the heck was that? You know, why did they make those? Landing strips or whatever those things were.
No, it's like the pyramids as well. Why have they always got pyramids of the same shapes all over the world and different continents? Yeah. Apparently didn't have any contact with each other, but the same
thing evolved. It's interesting. Mm. And then when you look at the birth, you know, the birth of Christ, we'll talk about that a little bit. Because we're going off, you know, we're just randomly talking here about UFOs and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about that and to realize that somehow the communication was there, whether it was aliens doing the communication or what, because, you know, the Native Americans knew the story over here, you know, when Columbus landed, they knew the story about Christ. And so it was all over the world where people knew this. And how did that happen? You know, somebody had to come down or be in their heads or something to say, hey, this happened for everybody to know about it.
Yeah, I mean, the Christian story is fascinating. If you go back to the Gospels and you got, you know, the Star of Bethlehem, what was that? Yeah. I mean, that could be some sort of craft, you know. It is, and, you know, and it got the Magi who are following this star, you know, and the Magi were basically mystics, alchemists, astronomers.
Right.
They were kind of into the esoteric paranormal big time for the day, and they were wanting to attend the birth of this child. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is a fascinating story. And then the whole virgin birth was like, impregnated by God, you know. You know, and then we can go back to the Old Testament and Genesis and the Watchers and the Nephilim and you know, there's so much weirdness. I mean, I've investigated this in my previous film. It's called God vs. Aliens, which is out on Tubi. And it looks at all the, you know, it goes through the Bible and all the ancient texts, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at Greek mythology. I mean, Greek mythology is similar as well. I mean, Zeus was impregnating mortals.
Yes.
That's how we got Hercules. I mean, you know, it's just in Hera, you know, Hera was doing her thing. So, I mean, there's a big thing through history of this going on and people seeing these, what they think are gods.
Yeah, which makes you think that maybe we're some sort of hybrid possibility. I mean, even looking at our DNA, something happened in our evolution that can't be explained, how we just ended up being these kind of super monkey creatures, basically.
Yeah. Well, massive... I was just thinking that when you said DNA, I was just thinking about DNA, Because there are studies right now, I've interviewed a couple people that seem to think that we do have, you know, alien DNA inside of us.
Yeah, I quite possibly. Something changed in our DNA that separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom. It's like, I mean, that doesn't give us an excuse to treat the rest of the animal kingdom bad. I hasten to say that, but it does kind of separate us a little bit, you know, because no other creature has evolved like us.
Mm-hmm. We're humans. I mean, that's what we look down on the other creatures.
Yeah, because we've got the capacity now to go off and seed life in other planets.
Right.
You know,
it is what it is. You know, that's just how it is. Now, for you, are you afraid of these aliens, or if you saw one, if it knocked on your door at night, which it wouldn't, it'd probably come through your door at night. But if you came in contact with one, would you be afraid?
No, I don't think it would. No, to be honest, no. I mean, to be honest, I without sounding blasé, I had a pretty crap childhood. I saw a lot of bad stuff. I've seen bad stuff. I've seen evil. I've dealt with it. aliens couldn't scare me. You know what I mean? Because I don't think they're evil. I think there might be a small percentage, mm-hmm. just like life here. You know, most people mm-hmm. are good, mm-hmm. but you know, but there's light and dark in the universe. But I think most of it is light. The light is more powerful. So I don't think we have anything to be afraid of. I think it could be mind blowing. Yeah, but I'm not frightened. I don't think. I mean, it's easy to say that now. But you know, something happens. But, yeah. But I welcome it.
I remember camping, and you're sitting out there. It's pitch black. And we would tell stories, you know, campfire stories and stuff about the aliens coming and all this. And I remember the park ranger came by, but he came by on foot. He had one of those big old cubing lights, you know, those things that just light up the night. And my brother and I are sitting there, and all of a sudden my brother goes, "It's the aliens, they're coming. Look over there." Because he knew it was the ranger, but, you know, of course, but he's just like, "Look at the light over there. It's the aliens coming through the trees. They're coming to get us. They're coming to get us." And I mean, mm-hmm. that's how people feel about that stuff. Like, come on over. We don't care for Kevin. Have some marshmallows. It's all good. You know. And I really think there are people, like you say, that's why, like we talked earlier about the government's holding back mm-hmm. on this stuff, because there's people like us that will embrace this. And then there's the other faction of people that aren't going to embrace it so well. So I think the governments are walking a fine tightrope with this stuff.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good point. But I think there's also certain sectors, say with the US military, that want us to fear it because they like to weaponize everything and make money from killing things, basically. So that fits into their
agenda. Well, it's kind of like Mars. You look at that, you look at Mars attacks.
Yeah,
what they exactly. ended up doing to the general, because he kept warning the troops, and then they made him what this big, and you know, with the high pitched voice.
Yeah, no, it's exactly, isn't it? Yeah. So yeah. There's that element, I think.
So what's next for you? You said you had a documentary that you're working on right now.
Yeah, The King of UFOs is out now on Tubi and Amazon Prime, but the next film on Rendlesham, the British Roswell, we're just editing it this month. And we're super excited because we got a famous guy from the X-Files narrating it, William B. Davis, who was cigarette-smoking man in the X-Files. He's working on this, and it was amazing, such an amazing guy. And he just makes the whole thing come to life, and really, really thank him for working on this film. So that's verging into paranormal, the next film. It's about UFOs and Rendlesham, mm-hmm. but... The stuff that we found is mad. I'll come back on and tell you all about it.
Absolutely. I was just going to ask you, are you willing to come back on and talk about it? Yes, that would be great. That would be great.
Thank you.
All right, great. How can people find you, sir?
Yeah, I mean, check out my films, I guess. This King of UFOs. It's Mark Christopher Lee. I've got quite a few films out on Tubi and Amazon Prime. I'm on Twitter as the King of UFOs, Instagram, the King of UFOs. So try and find me if you can. I'm always happy to respond to questions, and I love talking to people about UFOs. So send me your questions.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I had a great time.
It's been a blast.
We were all over the boards with this, but it was a blast. It was relaxed and great. And I would love to have you on again when you finish this documentary, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Charlotte. Okay. And I really hope your dog's okay.
Yeah. He's doing better. He's doing better. He's 18 years old, so he has, you know, it's an up and down thing with him.
That's a good age.
So I have to deal with him. All right. Well, thank you so much, sir. Have a great rest of your evening. Get some rest. Go out. Go outside and, you know, keep looking up. Right. Just keep looking up to see what's
up. Keep looking up. Yeah. Thank you. Right.
Thank you so much. Yes, have a great one. Okay. Bye. All right, guys, that was a great conversation with Mark Christopher Lee. Love talking about that stuff. It's such a vast thing, and there's just so many questions and so many answers that we're not getting. Tomorrow night, as he was talking about the Christian belief that some of these UFOs, you know, were being run by demons and things like this, John Miller is going to be with us. Millor, I think it's M-I-L-O-R. Millor is going to be with us, and he's going to be talking about that. He's going to be talking about UFOs in the Bible and his belief that he's kind of changing his opinion about the UFOs having demons on them. So it should be an interesting conversation. That'll be our usual time at 6:30 p.m. Pacific. Great, you know, it's going to be fun. It'll be fun. All right, well, I'm going to leave you guys here. If you like the show, share it with 5 people. If you hated the show, share it with 5 of your enemies. We're equal opportunity here at California Haunts Radio, just trying to get the word out about our little old show. And tonight, 10 p.m., between 10 p.m. and 11, I should be heading over to TikTok to do some tarot card readings. And if you're interested in that, come on over. I'm doing cold readings this week. And it could be you that I'm reading for. And something I've had a lot of good results in the TikTok chat room of people saying, oh, my God, it's me. You know, I'll do a 3-card read, past, present, future. And some of those readings have been very, very interesting. Okay, I will see you guys tomorrow. Yeah, I'll see you guys tomorrow with John Midmore. And remember, I do have that event, $15 a person. We're going to have a premiere of that Saturday show that we're doing, and I'm really excited about it. So that'll be part of our Halloween events to kick everything off. All right, guys, I'll see you tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. Have a great evening.